Hello and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. This is Jerry Bacardi here with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Raymond as usual. Cheers. And we are listening to Pleasant Valley Sunday by the Monkees.
Yeah, how appropriate. It's Sunday, and
it's
so why not?
Sunday,
a little
and...
departure from usual Sinatra or Dean Martin song, but it's for a good reason.
And then because on Pleasant Valley Saturday, you guys went to...
Pleasant Valley Saturday. We went to go see the Monkees last night at the Greek Theater in L.A.
And they were... awesome. Cool. They still sound so good.
Yeah,
and it was really good. Who all was it?
Well, it was the three of them. It was Peter.
No, Mike Nesmith.
It was Peter, right. Davey, and Mickey.
Mike
doesn't tour with them anymore. But
didn't Boyce and Hart tour with them for a little while?
They did.
There?
Well, what happened was after they had various points of where they broke up, different guys would break up, they'd drop out of the group. It was usually either Mike or Peter.
Right.
So during that period, Davey and Mickey made an album with Boyce and Hart. And Boyce and Hart wrote tons of their stuff
anyway.
So it was like a natural thing. So they actually formed a new group called Dylan Jones, Boyce and Hart, and put out an album called The Same Thing.
Awesome.
Anyway, so yeah.
Cool. So you saw them at the Greek, which is appropriate because I used to have this album called Love at the Greek by Neil Diamond.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And Neil Diamond wrote, which he wrote...
stuff.
I'm a believer.
Yeah.
And then I saw her face. That's how he was. And I think A Little Bit Me, A Little Bit You. He wrote that song too.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Yeah, they had all really great writers, which is why, you know, people say, oh, God, I love the Monkees. It's because they had the best writers in the business. I mean, Don Kirshner, when they signed them, I mean, people already know the story how they, you know, basically they were hired.
You should tell them because people don't know.
Anyway, but this is their 45th anniversary.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're talking a long time ago. Yeah. And they were great. They played for 2.5 hours. And, you know, they're older and stuff, but they sounded really, really good. And they have good backing musicians and stuff. And they showed tons of film clips from the TV show. Like, what they would do is they would show, they'd start to play the song, and then they'd show the episode that the song appeared in. And show
awesome.
That, they'd show pieces of that episode. It was really cool.
Did they show the Monkey Mobile?
In a few clips.
I used to love that Monkey
Mobile. That
66 GTO.
Yeah, it's just a few clips. And what's his, George Barris, who...
Did he do that car, too?
Yeah, he has a storm through the lake. He did the Batmobile, he did that, he did...
oh, wow.
I can't remember all else. I don't know if he did the Green Hornet car or not, but he did lots of very, very famous cars.
It was just great seeing all the old footage. Just brought me back, because I loved that show as a kid. Like, Davy Jones was my first crush ever.
Davy Jones?
So... I was like, aww.
And it was kind of based on the Beatles, obviously. Finish telling the story about the Don Kirshner wanted to.
Well, you know, they wanted to have a, you know, obviously rock and roll was real big, and so they wanted to have a TV show like about a rock band.
Yeah.
You know, so what they did is they hired these guys as.
And
actors.
It was kind of based on the Hard Day's Night.
Although,
I mean, all the shows kind of have that
to,
feel.
They wanted it to feel loose like that.
Yeah.
So they had, you know, Bert Schneider, who was the producer of Easy Rider, was at Columbia, and, you know, so I don't know if it was his idea, but they, you know, wanted to do a TV show on NBC, so they hired these four guys, you know, and basically as actors, even though they did have some musicianship, they basically were hired as actors that they could sing okay and whatever. So in the beginning, they weren't a real band.
And I'll dispel a Hollywood myth, urban legend, whatever. When they had the auditions, Charles Manson did not audition. He was actually in jail.
Yeah.
When they when
he got the call and said, "Well,
people used to say, oh, he auditioned for the Monkees, and he never."
But a famous person did audition for the Monkees.
Oh, what?
Stephen Stills.
That's how Peter Tork got the job, right?
Mm-hmm. Because Stephen Stills didn't like it. It's created crooked teeth or something like that. So they got Peter instead of Stephen Stills. And Stephen Stills went on this.
And Stephen Stills.
Oh, he did okay on his own.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of recommended Peter Tork, right?
I don't remember.
I think he did. And I think Harry Nilsson auditioned and didn't make it.
Yeah, but he wrote a couple great songs for that.
Right.
They played them last night.
And I'm thinking somebody else big that later became. I mean, they were getting major.
Yeah, they had major guys. And so anyway, they you know, started, did the TV show. It was popular. And they put out an album, you know, the Monkees, whatever. And by the second album, they said, you know, we can play these instruments. Why don't you let us play these instruments? And Kirshner said, no, we're going to have studio musicians. We just want you guys to do the vocals.
Right.
And he said, we want to do we want to help write some of this stuff. We want to play our own instruments. And Krishna wouldn't budge. Finally, after months and months and months of course, and he said, okay, you can play your own instruments. So they did an album, which a lot of people consider their best album, which is called Headquarters, which was, that's like the first real Monkees album as far as those guys
actually playing instruments.
Helping to write, and they were in the production booth, you know, production booth. I think Chip Douglas produced that one, but not the Chip Douglas from Arthur Sons.
Oh.
There's a Chip Douglas. Chip Douglas was a bass player for, I forget what band. Was it the Turtles? I can't remember. Anyway, so the Headquarters is like the first album of that's the real Monkees. So they wanted to be taken seriously as a real band. And the network was like, no, this is the formula, you follow this. And so there's a lot of drama behind the scenes and you know, there's the typical fighting between the guys themselves.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I think they basically all look back on it with really happy memories, but it was not an easy thing to pull off.
Yeah.
You know, and they wanted, like I said, they wanted to keep, and they went on tour. And, you know, they went on tour in 1967. The first show they did was 66, and I think it was in Hawaii. But then they went on tour in 67, and they wanted this guy to open for him, who was like this really good guitarist named Jimi Hendrix. So their first tour, Jimi Hendrix opened for them.
Actually, somebody we were there with, or we ran into, was friends of ours, had been at that concert.
Yeah.
Wow.
Back in 60.
You said nobody liked Hendrix.
No, they didn't like it.
Well,
that was
getting
way
over.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Like the Romper Room set, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be like having Ozzy Osbourne open up for the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
And Miley Cyrus. Yeah.
So they did, I mean, there's lots of, the history goes on and on, but they did, the show was relatively popular, but they canceled it after the second season, and it won all these Emmys, like it won Best Comedy and all that stuff, but they canceled it. And then after the show went up there, they wanted to do a feature with them. Barbara Abelson was brought in as director. Jack Nicholson was involved. Bert Schneider was involved. And they wrote a script called Head.
Wow.
And so the Monkees were in this. Now, they wanted it to be, you know, the thing of it is they wanted it to be kind of a stream of consciousness kind of a deal, which it is. It's a crazy movie. It almost makes absolutely
no
sense
at all.
But it's amazing. I think it's a great movie just because it's... You just love watching it. It doesn't make any sense, but you love watching those guys do stuff.
Right.
And you don't know where it's going. And the music is amazing. That's like one of the best soundtracks ever, the Head soundtrack. Anyway, so they did this movie called Head. Well, the problem was it was kind of made for older teenagers, like late teens. It was kind of a very sort of trippy, drug-induced kind of reference to the Vietnam War, drugs, all this weird stuff. They're doing parodies of all this stuff. The problem was the Monkees audience were like 12 and 13 years old. So it was a disaster. I mean, it came out and it didn't do well at all. And that pretty much, you know, helped kill them, you know, as a really popular band. And then they did a special, a TV special called 33 and a Third Revolutions for Monkey. And they put it on against the Oscars.
Wow.
And it got hammered in the ratings. And that was kind of it. I mean, as far as for them on TV, that kind of did it. But they carried on. They wanted.
They were set up.
Well, there's some speculation that the powers that be wanted to just ruin them.
Yeah.
Which is why they did these certain things. I don't know if that's true, but they kept putting out albums. And, you know, Peter quit the band, and you'll see they made a lot of commercials. TV. In fact, they showed the commercials last night.
For it's too just late.
It's just the three of them.
Wow.
Peter, because they did it after
Peter
quit. He quit the band. And they did it after shows off the air.
And he probably had the most musical talent of any of them, right?
He was a real good guitar player.
Yeah. He was a real good.
He probably was. He probably was the best musician. I mean,
right.
Mickey played drums.
Right.
And Davey played a mean tambourine. and Mike played guitar, but Peter was the best musician.
Wow.
So he just didn't want to do it anymore. So he got out. He actually bought his way out of his contract. He had like 40 years left on the contract. He bought his way out of it.
Wow.
So there's just the three of them. So a lot of times you're going to see the three of them in these commercials and stuff.
Wow.
Just the three of them. Anyway, so, you know, they did, there were various incarnations of the band. Then Mike dropped out. It was just Davey and Mickey for a while. And then Peter came back. I mean, it was just on and on and on. But in the 80s, so they were, you know, they did solo stuff. And then in the 80s, they started showing this is where you saw them, on Nickelodeon.
Well, I actually didn't see him the first time. They used to show him Saturday mornings in like in the early 70s. Really? That's when I watched them.
Because I saw him obviously when they first.
I mean, they were in prime time originally, and they were popular.
That's what I used to watch them.
But on Saturdays, they were like extremely popular. It was like Saturday morning. 12 o'clock in Detroit, we'd watch them, and we'd never miss them.
Yeah, it was the same way. Like, all my friends at school, we all watched them, all loved
thinking
babies.
They were right now. Thinking it was 1980, whatever.
Yeah, we were a little kid, you know, we just assumed it was real time, you know, and I remember we were watching an episode, and they had an interview, like, oh, we're going to have a live interview with Davy Jones.
Wow.
And like, we were all excited, and they get him, I'm like, he's old! He's like 40! Like,
then he did that that kind of cameo in the Brady Bunch movie. Do you remember that thing?
Yeah. Where that was awesome. He did that song last night.
Oh, he did that girl? Yeah.
Because it was you know, in original, the first Brady Bunch, the real one.
He
actually does, telling her, I said, in the TV show, you know, Marsha's in love with Davy Jones, and he goes to her prom and sings that.
Yeah.
I think it's just called Girl.
What I heard about that was that song was written for that TV show. And then that became so popular, they like actually had to make a song, an entire song, to fit that, because he was just like, he was in the studio just singing
and then they had to release
part of it. And they were like, okay, we got to write an entire song now. Uh-huh. Get to work.
Yeah, yeah. So it was cool. He sang it last night. It was awesome. People were getting all the women were like, oh, my God. Just going crazy. It was amazing.
So cool.
It was a lot of old, you know, there was younger people, too, but lots of, you know, older.
I got to ask you this question. You may not know the answer, but you know Ron Dante, so you should know this.
Yeah.
Is when Don Kirshner got fired from the Monkees.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I heard Sugar Sugar was going to be a Monkees song.
Oh, really?
But then he made his next thing after the Monkees was the Archies, right?
Well, Jeff Barry wrote, I believe it was Jeff Barry that wrote that. I could be wrong.
But Don Kirshner did produce the Archies.
Well, Don Kirshner left the Monkees, and then in the, he was like 1970, did the Archies.
Right.
You know, with Filmation with Lou Scheimer. So he took over that, and you know, the Archies had a lot of hits, and Ron Dante was Archie. He was the singer.
We have to ask Ron Dante about that. If he was, because I heard that the Monkees were supposed to do all those songs, and then Kirshner said, I own all this stuff. I'm taking it with me.
He's really something.
He'll probably be at Comic-Con. You can ask him.
Next
weekend.
So they're on Nickelodeon, and they got to be really popular all over again, and people are like, oh, we want to see the Monkees stuff. And I don't know who wrote the song, but somebody, you know, they're going to go back on tour. It's like, oh, we're really popular. It's all four of them. We're going to go back on tour. And you need some new material, and somebody wrote a song, I forget who it was now, called That Was Then, This Is Now.
Well, oh, yeah, I remember that song.
Out of nowhere. Like, what is this? It's like, this sounds like the Monkees. It was like 80... I don't know, if it was the year 86, maybe? 7?
It was 86, 87.
Anyway, it became this gigantic hit. It's like, all of a sudden, they were really popular again. And they started touring, and he played out an album called Justice, which is...
Wow.
I mean, it's a play on words. It's spelled J-U-S-T.
Just Us.
U-S. Just Us. Anyway, so they got popular over again. They stayed, you know, pretty popular. They'll tour every few years.
Yeah.
And we've met them all.
Have you met Mike?
I haven't met Mike.
No, Mike is like the one guy that doesn't, I mean, he doesn't need it, right?
His mother invented liquid paper.
And then he wrote that song, which I really like that song that Linda Ronstadt, Stone Pony song, Different Drum. He wrote
that
song.
Drum. Sure?
Yeah, he wrote that song.
He had hits on his own.
Right.
A song called Joanne.
And then, but his most money he made was, who did he sue? He sued somebody because they didn't have the rights to the Monkees, and he won a ton of money, like $47 million or something.
Wow.
It was some ridiculous amount of money.
Wow.
And that's why he doesn't do it, because he doesn't have to.
He's in business. He has his own business in the Bay Area. He runs
he's in the Bay Area.
Yeah, he has his own website. He does video products.
Right.
He's pretty successful. He's always a real good businessman. I mean, in fact, Davey was complaining about the fact that all the B-sides of their hits were written by Mike. So he gets a cut of that.
The single
sells, he gets a cut.
He's like the Gene Simmons of the Monkees.
Davey was kind of like, well, this guy was thinking way ahead. He was planning way ahead. So he was just a real smart businessman.
Yeah.
So he, you know, whatever the personal stuff is, they just he's not with him. He doesn't tour with him anymore. I think it's a mutual thing. I don't think he wants to. I don't think they really need him.
Right.
Because he's...
I mean, he really didn't.
He didn't really care. Right. He wasn't that enthusiastic about it.
And he's... And, I mean, when they were basically writing music for him and propping him up and having other people play instruments, it probably doesn't mean a whole lot to him anyway.
Yeah.
I mean...
And plus, he can't play his guitar anymore. From what I heard. Really? Like, he hasn't played it in years, so it's like... They had to kind of reteach him the songs and stuff. Wow. When we toured back in the 90s, 97. Yeah. 97, yeah. I think, was the last time he was with him. Anyway.
It'd be like getting Donald Trump to play in a band or something. It wouldn't work out.
Yeah.
And,
but we've met him, and they're nice. They're really nice.
I mean, I'll tell you what. That's one of the things that I always heard that Mickey Dolenz was an idiot.
Nope.
That he was a jerk. And I've met him, and you've met him.
Nope. Yeah,
I've met him, and he's super nice.
Yep.
Super nice guy.
I mean, maybe there's a time when he was. Yeah. These guys all drank and stuff. Yeah, and who knows with demons. But I think they're all really nice. I'll tell you a funny story. This will be my Rick story. It's not that. It's short. They were showing Head. They had a revival of Head. They're going to show a new print of Head at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. And so, you know, it was a big deal. And they were going to be there. A couple of them, at least. And Mickey couldn't be there, but Peter and Davey were going to be there. And we had just seen Davey do a solo thing at the Canyon. And he was really cool. He was awesome. Anyway, so I'm kind of waiting around them outside in the outdoor lobby, that I guess you call it. And right inside the door was Peter talking to some guy. And we couldn't go in yet because it wasn't time to go in. I was like, oh, is this right there? And I had a CD of Head. And I was like, oh, God, I'd love to have him sign that. So I just kind of walk in the door. And there's a mob of people behind me. There must be 20 guys. Just they see the same thing I do, but I'm the guy that went in. So they're just kind of waiting to see what happens, right? So I walk up to Peter and say, hey, excuse me, Peter. And he turns to me and goes, just a minute. Hold on one minute. I'm talking to this guy. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking to this guy and your friends. And then the guy left and says, okay. He turns to me and says, okay. I said, I just wanted to know if you could sign this. You know, whatever. He says, oh, yeah, no problem. So as he's signing it, all of a sudden I feel the door open behind me and all these guys. And as soon as he signs, he hands it back. I say, hey, thanks very much. This is great. This, you know, great to see you here and all that stuff. It's really nice. And he sees these 20 guys. He's got 20 guys out. And he's like, hold on. Nope, I'm not signing anything. Nope, that's it. That's one. That's it. No, I'm serious. Don't come near me. Get away from me. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I'm not signing anything. And everyone's just like, oh. Just their mouths dropped open, and he just walked away, and I just kind of like had my autograph. But it was awesome.
Well, that was awesome.
And then when they showed Head, they showed all these outtakes, and they showed their auditions that they did, and you know, cool. A couple episodes of the show, and it was just it's really
awesome.
Cool. Really, really cool.
So good concerts. Are they touring, or was this the one-time thing?
This was the last night. They have been touring. They started in England.
Really?
I forget when it was. It was a while ago, a few months ago. And they toured all over the country.
Wow.
And you look on the back of the shirt. Anyway, they I don't know. Where they've gone. They've gone a lot of places.
Let's see. They've gone to...
I'm going to get to Detroit.
Let's see. Atlanta, Clearwater, lots of time in Florida. Morristown, New Jersey.
Lots of California. Shows.
Niagara Falls.
Detroit.
No. Detroit, Michigan, 623. Right. Sweet. They had a big tour. I mean, that's a huge tour. That's like 40 places. Huh? Yeah.
So, Santa Inez, were they at the Chumash
Casino? Yeah, they're at
Casino?
The Chumash Casino where we saw Glenn Campbell, That's another story. Story.
Save that for next time. You want to tell them now?
No.
We'll save it for next time.
Yeah, we'll do a Glenn Campbell night. But anyway, it was awesome, and you have to salute the Monkees for being around this long.
Oh, yeah.
Their music is just some of the best ever. You know, they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is a joke, but the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a joke, frankly.
I think it was like, they used to call them the Prefab Four, which was kind of made up, but I think Phil Spector had a big... didn't like them because he felt like they were made.
Manufactured,
and that they'd never get the respect.
No, not like the Ronettes.
Right,
Who are a band that formed on the streets. Give me a break.
And in these days of autotone, they're probably more talented than anybody.
Obviously. And like I said, they went on, they did their own stuff, and their album still sold. So obviously there was talent that they...
Yeah.
It was untapped, and they finally proved that they did have talent. So.
Right, right.
Good for them. And we're all, a lot of us who grew up in that era. I mean, I was a little kid. I was pretty little when that show was up. I loved it. I loved, that's when I was watching Batman and stuff too. So, I have great memories of those shows.
Oh, yeah. And they get, it takes, and it's not all, I hate to say that, but it's not all talent. It's, Marvin Hamlisch was really talented in 1.5 years, maybe. And these guys are 45 or 40? How many years?
I think they're 40.
No, 35 years.
How old is it? 45 years.
45 years they've been playing.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
45th anniversary. So, if that's no talent, I will take that any day of the week.
It's a great 45-year-old
fake. So thanks for joining us for the podcast. And make sure you visit our sponsors, Audible.com and PB Imaging. And also you can download this podcast for free. And we're going to put some pictures on. You got some pictures of Amanda and Rick and Mickey Dolenz. And I think I have a picture of me and Davy Jones. So you can see how old he looks.
You're saying in very hushed tones.
It's a little compromising position, we'll get that on the website too, so you can see those pictures, and you can join us on Facebook. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Send us your feedback. Download it free at www.mccartymetro.com.
Those questions and post it.
We got questions. We got a backlog of questions we've got to answer. So anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Yeah.